This is Farm and Table, an IRS original program featuring articles from a variety of publications that focus on farming, food, and the business of agriculture. I'm your reader, Wanda. Our first article is a continuation of the article from Successful Farming for August 2019, entitled Three Ways to Handle Tough Times. In the first part of the article, they were talking about that the stress rate for farmers is even more than it has been in the past because of decreasing prices, drought, and the embargo with other countries, and tariffs with other countries. The suicide rate has increased for farmers considerably in the last several years. And the Brotherton is the person who is talking here, and he is talking about ways that people can manage the stress. Sean Brotherson offers the following three ways to manage the stressors you can control. Number one, control attitude and mindset. Attitude and internal orientation toward a stressor can compound or reduce the stress triggered by the external circumstance. Letting go of the stress can reduce anxiety, said Brotherson. Focus instead on the things over which you have more immediate control. You might focus on the things you can accomplish in one day. A switch in mindset is also critical to managing stress. For instance, rather than dwelling on the seemingly impossible circumstances created by poor prices, plan and implement long-term ways to become more financially resilient. Switch your mindset from one of being inactive and problem-focused to a proactive, solutions kind of mindset, he says. Number two, control responses to stressors. The way we respond to stressful events or circumstances can magnify or diffuse the negative effects of stress. Brotherson points out, drawing upon positive emotional or spiritual wellsprings within can help, as can practicing conscious gratitude as a means of counteracting negative emotional responses to stressors. Write down three things that you're grateful for daily, says Brotherson. Conscious gratitude calms your mood. Positive responses to stress are as unique as individuals. Daily exercise, socializing with friends or family, listening to uplifting music, or watching a sitcom on TV, all that can help. You just need to find the tool that works for you, he says. Number three, control events within your setting. Brainstorming and implementing a strategic plan for your operation can help reduce the stress triggered by unexpected events. Plan ahead, for instance, to match labor availability to the most labor-intensive periods, or service and repair machinery in advance of its season of heaviest use, typically the most stressful seasons. These practices and others like them can help mitigate the coming times of stress, says Brotherson. Meeting with a health care provider to rule out or treat underlying physical causes for symptoms of stress is a point of control that could lead to helpful changes in diet or exercise habits. Just remember that good stress management will help you accomplish good farm management, says Brotherson. Powers of words. Words used in communicate with friends and family members, partners, and employees go a long way to magnifying or diffusing stress. Healthy, positive communication patterns are a powerful source, says Brotherson. But when unchecked, emotional responses to stress can cause these to break down into unhealthy patterns. When stress levels are high, language can sometimes become inflammatory, accusing, and blaming, he says. This multiplies the stress both in the person who is speaking and in the person being spoken to. Cultivating healthy communication patterns yields positive results that build a form of social equity by fostering a sense of mutual support. When you're under high stress and need to talk to someone, you're more likely to find someone who will speak uplifting words of encouragement if you have practiced healthy patterns of communication, said Brotherson. Connecting Your Farm by Natalina Sense, Digital Content Manager. Food for Thought. Dietitian Kara Haberstreet offers advice for farmers looking to connect with dietitians and their clients about food. The letters after her name give Kara Haberstreet a unique vantage point. The credentials that I have, MS, RD, LD, that refers to my master's degree. RD is registered dietitian, and then licensed dietitian is LD. Most states also require licensures in order to practice as a dietitian, Haberstreet explains. Her training as a dietitian isn't the only thing that has shaped Haberstreet's point of view, though. Due to social media connections and events around the country, she's been able to spend time with boots on the ground, visiting farmers who grow the food products she talks about every day. Getting to the farm gate. Haberstreet has found her sweet spot now, but she wasn't always passionate about food or where it came from. She admits, even among dietitians, her career path has been non-traditional. Although Haberstreet grew up in a rural area, she says her understanding of agriculture was minimal at best. In college, her class called World Food and Agriculture helped her discover a curiosity in food and nutrition. That sparked, ultimately, led to Haberstreet to change her secondary art education major and pursue training as a dietitian. After earning her credentials, Haberstreet was invited on a farm tour by Kansas Farm Bureau. That was one of the first instances where I was having these face-to-face conversations with farmers. I was just fascinated hearing the stories and the background and connecting it to what I was talking about to my clients about nutrition-wise, she recalls. Haberstreet has been on many farm tours since, and her job looks a bit different than she first imagined. She doesn't work in a hospital or see patients one-on-one. In fact, she has a home office, and Instagram is a tool she uses daily. It's much more of the communication side of things, communicating these messages to either combat some of the myths there are out there or to encourage people to be more curious when it comes to their food, Haberstreet explains. Through her work, Haberstreet interacts with many agriculture organizations and companies. She says many have hosted great informal yet educational experiences. She cites a recent farm-to-table dinner hosted by BASF as an example. Having some time to have really candid and transparent conversation with farmers has been so, so helpful to me. Personally, to understand my relationship with food a little bit better, and also understand what resources I have from a professional standpoint, Haberstreet explains. A relaxed environment where people can eat and drink helps people feel comfortable enough to dig into the tougher questions that may not come up in a more formal, professional type of setting, she says. No matter the setting, being open and transparent is key for farmers who want to share their way of life. Saying, I can't speak for the industry as a whole, but this is how we do it. This is what goes through our mind and the concerns we have, and how we address them is effective when answering questions from dietitians or anyone else interested in food, Harbstreet explains. Don't forget your heart. While she's had many positive experiences with the agriculture community, Harbstreet has experienced some cringeworthy attempts at outreach. My clients, they're human, just like anybody else. So the foundation of their decision-making is still that very visceral or emotional reaction. I think it is helpful in some cases to have things like data and numbers or facts. But at the end of the day, even in light of that information, we're pulled by the storytelling piece of it. Harbstreet reminds farmers, sometimes there can be this formality involved in these conversations where we have the evidence or we have the proof that it works, but it doesn't really dig into the emotional aspect. There remains a disconnect. Your Profit by Al Kluitz. Watch the August 12th USDA reports. A 2-bushel change in yield can equal a $2 change in price. For many farmers, the spring of 2019 is one for the record books. It's also a year many farmers do not ever want to see repeated. Historic rainfall in the eastern Corn Belt delayed planting for many farmers. Farmers who could not get started until mid-June were forced to switch corn acres over to soybeans. When it kept raining, some farmers eventually filed a prevent plant claim on the acres that were too wet to plant until early July. The late June weekly USDA crop progress report indicated that farmers still had 7.4 million acres of corn to plant and over 19 million acres of soybeans to go. When farmers finally reported they were done planting corn, it did not mean that they got 100% of the acres they planned to plant. It just meant that they had done what they could. I estimate that 33 million acres of soybeans were planted in the last week of June or July. The USDA acreage report on June 28th showed planted corn acres at 91.7 million acres. That was up a surprising 1.9 million acres from June 11, 2019 report, and down just 700,000 acres from the forecast of in March 2019. The USDA also said it would resurvey 14 states. The prevent plant corn acres will not be factored until the August 12th report. That report is also when the USDA will make its first survey-based yield forecast. I expect harvested acres and yields to both move lower in August. For soybeans, the June 28th acreage report showed planted soybean acres at just 80 million acres. This was down 1.8 million acres from the June 11th report and down 4.6 million acres from the forecast in the initial March USDA estimate. With only 78.4 million soybean acres for harvest, a 2-bushel change in the yield this year could create a $2 change in price according to my estimates. I usually only update my running predictions of the monthly USDA report numbers once a month. However, this year I have been updating my calculations every week. The supply and demand projections in this article are a snapshot of where I think the ending stocks will be at the time of my writing this article. I know I will be making some major changes after the August 12th reports. When I work with the supply-demand reports, I become more confident in the supply side of the report. That means as the year progresses, I become more confident about the size of the crop. The most challenging part is to try and forecast demand. As prices move higher, demand begins to drop. That is called demand destruction. Many times, I am not aware of the magnitude of the demand destruction until after it has developed. I also know that the fundamentals are most bullish at the top and the most bearish at the bottom. That is why I study the fundamentals, but make the most of my decisions based on my chart analysis. Three signals to watch. Pay close attention to the following three signals to know when the corn and soybean markets are topping. Although none of the signals will ensure that you hit the top, they should help you get some crop sold ahead of what I still expect to be the harvest lows. Number one, watch cash basis bids. On the May-June rally, cash basis bids improved as the rally continues. If the rally gets frothy and basis levels widen out, that's a sign it's to get more sold. Number two, watch the spreads. Again, during the May-June rally, the nearby contracts led the rally higher. This showed good demand for nearby corn and soybeans. When the spreads start to narrow, then it's a negative signal. Number three, watch out if the commitments of traders' reports shows large or record long fund positions in corn and soybeans. That will be one of your best signals. Action steps. Have price protection in place for 30% to 50% of 2019 crop ahead of the August 12th reports, and then watch for a place to get another 20 to 30% of the crop, depending on your specific situation, protected with hedges and puts. Monitor the three key signals to determine when to make those sales. Make a spreadsheet decision on how much to hedge and when to hedge based on the profits on your farm. These are some of his predictions. Planted acres, these are all for 2019 and at various times during the year. 91.7 acres, 91.7 acres, and 91.7 acres. These are in millions. Harvested acres, 84.3, 84.3, and 84.3. Yield, 161, 165, and 169. Carry-in, 2,195, 2,195, 2,195. Production, 13,572, 13,910, and 14,247. This is a spreadsheet. Supply, 15,816, 16,153, and 16,490. Total use, 14,250, 14,250, and 14,250. Carry out, 1,566, 1,903, and 2,240. Stock use ratio, 10.9%, 13.3%, and 15.7%. Price range, $4.40 to $4.70 in the first row, $4.70 to $4.90 in the second row, and $4.40 to $4.70 in the third row. This is all for corn. For soybeans, this is again three prices for 2019. Planted acres, 80, 80, and 80. Harvested acres, 78.4, 78.4, and 78.4. Yield, 45, 47, and 49. Carry-in, 1,070, 1,070, and 1,070. Production, 3,528, 3,685, and 3,842. Supply, 4,620, 4,777, and 4,934. Total use, 4,295, 4,295, and 4,295. Carry out, 325, 482, and 639. Stock use ratio, 8%, 11%, and 15%. Price range, $10.40 to $11.70 in the first column, $9.50 to $10.40 in the second column, and $8.80 to $9.50 in the third column. I don't understand what I just read, so I hope you understand it. Finances by Betsy Fries, Executive Editor. Tree Farming Tips. Fox TV star Stuart Varney shares ideas from his first harvest. Stuart Varney has a top-rated market program on television, but he is happiest when he is working on his 1,100-acre tree farm in upstate New York. The host of Varney and Company on Fox Business has his first timber harvest of 2019. Born and raised in the UK, Varney, 70, helped Ted Turner launch CNN in 1980. He became an American citizen in 2015. Successful farming asked, "Tell me about your farm." Answer, "It's lovely rolling hills and forest, a delightful piece of land. I bought it 18 years ago because I wanted a big piece of land within a reasonable drive to my home in New Jersey. It was my piece of America. I fell in love with it. The idea of creating a tree farm came later. I didn't know anything about logging and didn't buy it for that purpose. But we hired a forester and he created a plan. We will harvest 1,088 trees this year." Question, "What trees are you harvesting?" Answer, "Black cherry, red oak, hard maple, and some ash. The ash borer, a nasty pest, is on its way north and will gobble up our ash trees fairly soon, so we are cutting most of them now to get ahead of it." Question, "Which tree is the most valuable?" Answer, "Black cherry. It is the American mahogany. It's a hard, dense wood with a fine, deep color. It's used to make furniture. A mature black cherry is 60 years old. We also have an uptick in demand for hard maple, which is used for hardwood flooring. Those are the two most profitable trees we are harvesting. But that can change with the marketplace. We had 14 bids for lumber mills on the contract we are harvesting. The price is based on how many board feet you can get out of any given tree." Question, "Are you planting more trees?" Answer, "Hardwood timber regrows itself. You don't need labor to plant. You don't have to buy the saplings or clear the land around the saplings. You just wait for the forest to regrow itself and for the timber to become mature. My farm is divided into 10 different tree stands, and we harvest from one or two each year." Question, "Do you have any other plans for the farm?" Answer, "No, I've done a conservation easement, so development of the property is heavily restricted. I want to leave this land for my children, grandchildren, and on down the line. To have a piece of America as an immigrant is a very big deal to me. I'm extremely proud of to be an American farmer. I truly love this land." Question, "This is a challenging time for farmers." Answer, "Yes, it is. Let me speak as someone in the lumber business. The recent trade talks affect lumber prices in two ways. First, we are renegotiating NAFTA, and that involves a dispute over Canadian lumber imports in America. into America. Second, China buys a great deal of our lumber to turn into furniture. The trade dispute with China affects the value of my timber. That's why there has been an increase in logging in the Northeast recently. There is a feeling that China will open its imports to American timber soon. Companies are logging now to be prepared for what they think is going to be a rush of orders from China that may or may not pay out. You've been listening to Farm and Table, an IRIS original program. Thanks for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the blind and print handicapped. Let us know what you think about this program by calling 515-243-6833 or visiting iowaradioreading.org.